to Adventure in Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I gotta tell you, I was talking to this person right before the interview, and now I'm even more excited about this interview because this is gonna be fun, and you listeners are gonna love it. So I want to welcome to the show No from Revolution.
Welcome back. And like we were talking about it, this is the first time we're meeting, right?
That's absolutely
cool.
Yeah,
really.
We were talking about that for you listeners. Like, the first time we knew anything about each other was literally 5 minutes ago. So here we go.
Yeah, and we blame Eileen, you bitch. We'll get you.
Yeah,
she's like one of those, you know, pretty cool, smart New York chicks. So it's hard to get anything on them.
Yeah, there you go. She is Miss Cool, that's for sure. But
yeah.
She likes to keep us all in mystery land. I think it creates better interviews.
Okay, maybe she knows what she's doing.
So, first of all, I want to ask you right off the bat, you know, okay, so I don't usually ask about names and stuff, but no. How did that come about, and how many times do people, like, try to say something stupid having to do with that?
The second question, the number is, how many atoms are there in the universe, you know? I've told this story a couple times, so I don't want to sound like repeating this stuff, but what I remember is that about 4 years ago, I had never in my life done an open mic where you go to the place and you sign up and you go and you sing a song, right? Because I was a professional in my mind since I was 11. So people say, what kind of music do you play? I said, whatever they pay me for.
Right.
I love music. I don't care what it is. Right? Pay me and I'm a pro. Well, so I kind of looked down at this open mic scene, you know. And then I ended up living close to San Francisco and realized, I can get there. And I went to this club. Can I do a shout out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hotel Utah, the best open mic on the planet, you know, not the best in the era, because there's really good ones. You know, I could name a bunch of them, but Hotel Utah. So I go there and I'm going to do the first time I've ever done this. I get in front of a bunch of musicians and play a song I wrote, like for no money. And the first time I went there, I got scared. I put my name down and I left. I chickened out. So it's every Monday. So I go back the next Monday. God damn it. I can't be afraid of this. You know, I'm going to do this. So I put my name down and I got a number. So I went on at about 11 o'clock or something, which to me, I thought, oh, fuck, I'm not even going to get on. And then I'm scared because 25% of these people that are getting up there are real good. These are artists, you know. It's not kidding around here. They're just doing this. So I started. I had probably 2 or 3 gin and tonics, which is about 2 over my limit. Right, and this guy, Kajal Pinto, he's an American, you know, Indian. He was talking to me, and I said, I'm fucking scared. I'm not going to do it. They'll never call me. And he's like, no, stick around. No, it's good. Don't be nervous. And I said, okay. you do beatbox, right? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay, then I want you to get up there with me. Like he says, yeah, sure. Comes my turn, and now I'm like four drinks in. So I almost tripped going on stage, and I thought, oh, this would be a real professional comeback, you know. Don't fuck, slow down, you know. Get backstage, tune up. All of a sudden, we're on stage, and the guy goes, where do you want to plug in? And I plug it in, and I don't remember anything after that until I'm driving home, and I realize I'm way too fucking drunk to drive, and I pulled over because I was seeing three roads in front of me.
Yeah, that might not be good.
Immediately, and went, never again, and I have never done that again. I will never drive like that, but that night I was. So I'm fucking scared. And I get, you know, 5 in the morning, I wake up, I drive home, I sleep a little bit. And this Kigel texts me and he says, where'd you go? They were all looking for you. And I'm like, what? And I picked up my guitar and I walked off stage and left. And because I thought I did terrible. And he goes, no, they want you to come back. They liked it. I was like, whoa. So the next time I go, I cut it down to one drink, right? You know, because I'm a professional musician. I don't play fucked up. But I'll have a little enhancement, you know what I mean? But not fucked up. So I went there, and I was so nervous, I sort of scribbled my name on there. And he said, I knew my number was 37 or something. He called the number, and I went up there, and he said, Brendan Grisell, the guy who runs this. I later found out, he said, I can't read this. Do you have a name? And I thought he said something else. And I said, no. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, no. And I thought, oh, fuck. Well, I did a pretty good song, and it went over. So everybody started calling me no. And then Facebook, for the first time, kicked me off and said, you have to have a real name, because I had used it for just the band. I didn't really want to be on Facebook, but I thought the band needs it. When I needed two names, I just put Revolution, Revolution. Didn't realize what was going on. Went on, started, you know, that's a disgusting waste of time. But anyway, they wrote me a letter and said, you have to have a real name. You can't have Revolution, Revolution. It's not your real name. So I said, okay, no. And then just before I got that letter notice from Facebook, I had read this story about Jane Mansfield, right? And people were calling me no. And I said, okay, fine. I'm no Mansfield. And I signed in a couple times at the Utah like that. And then Eileen, among other people, started calling me that. And it sort of stuck. And I thought, fuck it. That's fine.
There
I don't care.
Go.
You know,
that's why I asked, because that's a great story right there, because, you know, some stories are like, okay, whatever, but that's a pretty funny story, because you knew it had to be like that.
You want to hear the coda to that? Facebook, again, said, nobody calls themselves No Mansfield. Write down your proper credentials and your real name. Then I thought, fuck you, Facebook. So I'm off Facebook, in case any of you are looking. I'm still on Instagram, but we'll probably get kicked off that soon, so who cares? Whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
We play music, you know, ain't no thing.
So tell us about Revolution. You know, as I was telling you before the interview, I'm not about the whole let's put a label on music genre thing, because I think, an artist is an artist, and they should be free to be artistic, not free to, you know, roam around in their closed-in box called a genre. So how would you visually paint the picture of what Revolution is? If you wanted our listeners to know what the music was, how would you paint that picture?
So it is like a painting, right? And there's sort of a cockiness to it. There's a real, you know, a fun attitude. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Our genre, if you will, would be space rock, but, or, you know, psych rock, I guess, is a more generalized term. But on the other hand, we have a new song coming up. I'm really excited about this song because it sounds, it still has the Revolution like fucking crispy, and we're, you know, it wasn't recorded in the garage sound, right? So that one's really exciting, and it's almost done. We're like on the second mastering phase. And then we have another one that's almost the exact opposite, which is Hover. And that, it's, I describe it as a drum solo with lyrics.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah, and one really loud guitar. So, and I want to be able to do that. And you know what? The Revolution exists by the grace of certain unnamed benefactors. And also just we're lucky and what the God's grace is, and people like you seem to listen to the music and go, hey, that's not too bad. So, yeah, I'm really happy right now because I don't really care if people, you know, my friend Freddie liked the electric and now it doesn't like Puppy. Who cares? Or, you know, it's just what I do. And I do it all the time. So I, if you don't like that one, I've got 100 more you could listen to sound a little different, you know?
Nice.
And me and David Kendrick, I got to say, is a lifelong, another lifelong writer, a man of words, you know? And in fact, I'm talking about him now because the way I do it as a singer with these songs, I have to sing them at least 50 or 60 times with the tape before I will record it because I have to have the feel. I have to memorize the words so I don't think about the words. I think about, you know, notes and the whole thing. I'm about 37 into David's. David wrote, we're working on Harbor right now. And, oh, man, it's such an interesting song. It's all about space.
About
moons hover around the sun.
So,
it's a cool song.
What do you think about the whole idea? Like, I saw news recently that, okay, so Elon Musk is looking to send people up to Mars. I'm like, great, we already ruined this planet. Now we're going to go ruin another one.
That's why he wants to go.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
But I worked with him at one point, like real early on, about 20 years ago, and I can tell you he's sincere about wanting to go there. And there is a really strong reason to do it, you know. There are people, Chris McKay from NASA can articulate the reason to anyone, and he does it so good. As soon as you get done talking to him, you're ready to go.
Wow.
Now, Oh, yeah. I mean, I lean towards that stuff. I love science. So, I don't know. Yeah, I will give you this. Hydrazine is a fucking bad pollutant to burn, and it's what most rockets use. But they're getting away from that. And, you know, I used to work I was sort of on a contract with NASA, and one of the things that blew me away was how much we understand about that. Like on the people who not just say there's an enthusiast community that probably numbers in 3 or 4 million people that know a lot about this shit, right? But they just don't talk about it. But what blew me away was, whoa, we could go like tomorrow. And then when I met Elon, we both had the same idea. And obviously took different paths, but yeah, he funded this project for me to build a model at Kennedy. Is that what they call it now? I forgot. Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, and so I don't know. You know, and that's been a distraction to my music career. Some of those things, those opportunities I get, I can't pass them up.
Well, maybe Revolution could be the first band to play on Mars.
I would fucking love that.
How cool would that be, right?
Yeah. Oh, but, you know, so I was part of a group called the Extremophiles, and we put out an album in 2008 or 9, something like that, that was recorded inside a Mars habitat that I designed and built in the Utah desert. And we had Discovery Film and a whole bunch of people film this. But what happened was we went in there, and there was three pretty hardcore musicians, me being one of them. But I was sort of the project leader, so nobody could fire me if I wanted to play music. We had another woman there, right, who was a NASA scientist and had convinced NASA to fund her and us going to this simulation to see how musicians would get along going to Mars, because that was a thesis we wrote, that, hey, if you're going to send people, that's one of the defining qualities. Put them all in a band with no audience, so they're going to always get along. They have to work together.
And here we are. We're in COVID times where bands are doing concerts with nobody there. So it's
right?
Good practice for that.
We were ahead of that. Yeah. So we thought we would come up with one or two songs, and we ended up, what happened was our main scientist, the second day out, she was in a spacesuit and on an ATV, and she flipped it and broke a rib, but refused to call in outside medical help. We had a doctor with us, so it wasn't like, you know, and there's not much you can do for a broken rib. Anyway, that screwed the science program, so then we focused on the music, right? We thought, we're going to get something done. And, we wrote 23 songs. And this album is really good. It's a collector's item. But,
wow.
It's got, the whole thing is about either being in space or a crew on space, or one of these songs, She's Leaving Home, is about this guy. It's a punk rock song, too, so it's really fun. It's this girl gets a mission to go to Mars, and this is her boyfriend writing this song called She's Leaving Home, and it's real punky and, like, it's sort of a fuck you song.
I love it, because I'm into punk, so I love it.
You know, that's a strong motivation for revolution, too. Every one of us is like, wishes we could have been more punk. But it's like, we want to have that attitude, you know?
Yeah, like, well, that's what punk is.
If you're not going to do it for fun, then do it for real. You know?
Exactly, and that's what punk is anyway. It's an attitude, you know? People like to focus on the music, just the music, but it's more than just the music. It's an attitude, and it's a mindset, and it's a political statement, and a whole bunch of other things.
It really is. You know, I was so lucky. Before COVID hit, I was with a band, well, actually four bands, but one of them, we were killing it on the house party circuit, and you know, I played for really big crowds, but this would be 100 people at max, you know, that's when the place is full. But it was really a cool vibe at these places, you know. I mean, we played a couple of gigs with Mal and Laura. Oh, is that noise bothering you?
It's not bothering me, but, you know, it is what it is. It's live radio.
I have this invention, and... I talked someone into building it, and now I have to. I'm like a construction guy. I still work 3 hours a day in the studio. I fucking play, and I play live. Even in COVID, I play live twice a week. So this invention of mine, I have to be the one that makes it work. It's like finishing a song. You know, there's got to be one person that's really into it and will take it right to the limit and make sure it's fucking great and there's no compromise. That's what I have to do with this invention that I have, and you know, that's what it is. But the music, I play every day now, and I bought, you know, I've been buying new amplifiers and checking them out. I bought this Marshall. It's a 5-watt tube amplifier with just one input and a treble, bass, and mid-range, and that's it. Oh, and volume.
Wow.
And it's so good.
You know, I have an adversity to Marshall stacks. You know why?
Me too. I do. I get you. I hear you. Tell me. Tell me what you think.
For me, it was, I was at a gig and I was 17 years old and I climbed on top of this Marshall stack and did a swan dive off of it into the crowd, and the crowd moved and I lost my teeth.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. I have a fear of Marshall stacks now. That's my phobia.
Well, this one is small, like maybe 22 inches high, and it's for its little size, it's light and it's loud, right? And I've been playing lately, every 2 weeks, it's increasing a little bit to every week, but I play with this band that is a friend of mine, and we play at flea markets right in San Francisco, like in the Sunset District. And we're socially distanced. Everybody's got a mask at this place, right? And we can't sing. So we just jam, right?
Nice.
And it's really, it's like four really good players. No pressure. Yeah, it's really cool.
But that is badass. That would be, I miss the days of just jams. You don't really have much of that anymore.
Right? I know. And it's so hard to record. It's so hard to capture that. You know, there was a couple of times last weekend where we were wailing, and then we just all stop on a dime and go down to the same volume, like, bomb, a huge dynamic. And when you're doing a show, like your band's out there playing their songs every time, a lot of times you don't get to do stuff like that. You know, like, none of us knew what was going to happen, and we fell off a cliff and landed on our feet.
There you go. That's the way it should be. So how do our listeners can, because we know you're not on Facebook anymore, but Revolution is on Facebook. So how do people connect to you guys on social media, website, get your merch, get your music, whatever?
So we're sort of in a merchant hiatus right now, where we hired someone to really give us a great website with the merch capabilities and everything, and they totally blew it. They took our money and just screwed us. So I've been discouraged because our new album, we have all the songs listed now, and now I'm starting to go through them one by one and getting them ready for mastering, right? So I almost don't even care right now what's out there online, because once we get this album cooked up, we're gonna hit it hard. You know, we'll get out there, and it can be done. If you have the good music, and I totally believe in the new stuff. But I think the band evolved a lot, just from the sound to the quality of the songwriting. Singing along to it and shit.
Well, you gotta sing along. You gotta sing along to it.
I'm totally biased. So take that into account.
Well, I should hope so, because that would kind of suck if you weren't biased towards your own music.
Right. You know, and I get when artists say, like, I'd say it's at least 2 to 3 years ago that I listened to our first album for the last time. I just don't listen to it anymore. And even though further, I barely listen to that. Even though I like it, right? It's just that I heard it 1,400 times in the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it, but I don't want to hear it anymore. I want to hear the new stuff.
I think a lot of people that go to shows, they don't understand that about artists is, you know, these people, they go to the show and they want to hear all the old stuff, but they don't get it that it's pretty exciting for the musician to play the new stuff.
It is, yeah. In the case of the way I look at it is that Revolution is almost like a jam band. I mean, we've all lived through Hollywood and know how to hit our mark and play exactly 3 minutes and 22 seconds, right? But on the other hand, we also know how to jam, and I think that if we can start playing again and people can, because I think we have the songs now. I think there's quite a few songs, three albums worth of stuff that we really haven't even promoted ever. Not that much. It got out there on the, you know, through the word of mouth and stuff. But so there's plenty of songs to start marketing. And to you radio or podcast people out there, we're looking for a manager. Someone will even pay them. Don't get excited. It ain't going to be much at first. But we will pay someone to just handle this website and merch and figuring out how to promote these. I mean, we know how to promote it. We just need somebody to actually follow through.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that because, you know, I've done web development since 1998, and I run into people like you experience all the time. It pisses me off. Like, these web people, they just have no – I don't get it, man. They just – the way – they're just not business savvy at all, you know, and they'll take people's money. They never finish a job. They take forever. They have a million excuses, and they always get insulted too, like you're insulting their creativity.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Jeez. You know, the website we have, it looks, given that the look is way better, but there's very few pictures of us. Like, they have, for Kim's picture, they have a guy. And then they're promoting other websites. There are other websites on our website. And I just haven't had time to worry about it. I don't care. I'm more focused on getting the album done. After that, you know, I look at music as sort of a two-phase thing. You know, you divorce yourself from the business. Like, who cares? Write what you feel. Write as good as you can, you know. And then the other side of it is, okay, I'm done with that. Now I want to get some goddamn recognition.
There you go.
You know, yeah, I want people to see I put my heart into this. So, and if they like it, great. If they don't, that's great, too.
Well, I definitely want our listeners to check out your music because you guys are badass, and of course you have a passion for it. To me, that's key. You know, people that get up and play music just to play music and don't have a passion for it, I don't have respect for. I have respect for people like you that just absolutely love it, and it's just part of their heart and soul, and so thank you for that.
Oh, I don't want to say it. I had it since as long as I can remember. I can remember being moved by music and rhythms and stuff.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, yeah, so... the best way to look at us is on our YouTube channel because you can see all the videos and there's, you know, and then that can lead you. We're on SoundCloud and Bandcamp and Spotify and everywhere you want to look, you can find our band if you spell it right. We even, here's another one. Yeah, we paid these people to help us get through Wiki and they've just been putting off for 4 months now.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Jokes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Anyway.
So tell everybody how to spell your band name so they know when they're searching.
Okay, think like a Russian. Revolution. Like, I don't know, my wife would kick me because she's Russian if she heard that. But anyway, it's spelled revolution.com. And Google now recognizes us. Spotify says we're a certified artist, which whatever that means. So it's not hard to find if you spell it right. There's songs like Dog Gets High or Electric right now. Just type Electric, and it doesn't matter how you spell Revolution. It'll take you to our video.
Nice.
Which Electric is, by the way, that's a cool video because it features Scott Page, the dude from Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's so good.
He's a great guy, and what a talent.
Yeah, right? God, yeah. So anyway, we can be found. But right now, we're kind of, you know, like, I'm still in the buff-up stage of Revolution. We want to have the new album. We're going to have new graphics, a couple of new videos, and we want to come out with a bang and let that, you know, that PR stuff close for 9 months, a year, something like that. In which case, we'll write about how
fucked it is to be a rock star.
No, it's one thing we kind of stay away from. I'm happy to be a rock star, dude. But anyway, so there you go. That's our story, and we're
sticking to it. And you're sticking to it. Well, cool. I love it.
Yeah,
I love the story. I love the music. And thanks for coming on the show and sharing with us. And keep going, because we need it.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Dean. It was really nice to talk to someone who thinks about that kind of stuff. So,
there you go.
Cool, man. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll send you a copy of the new album as soon as we get the advanced copies.
I can't wait. And we'll definitely put it in the rotation on our station so people can hear it.
Cool, man. So we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Sounds good. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.